Skokie County Board of Supervisors will convene on this lovely morning, and let's see, Mr. Kieran, could you give us some flags?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shall we do a roll call?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Kopsa? Supervisor Haupt?
Here.
Supervisor Ogren?
Here.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Turn to invocation, Chaplain Bradley.
All right. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today conducting business of the county. We thank you for all those who participate, for our citizens who care about their government, for our Board of Supervisors and the decisions they need to make, give them understanding, give wisdom. And Father, we appreciate the work of all the county staff and everything that they do. And I want to pray especially for their families, all of the families today, because it's difficult balancing work and family time. I just pray, God, you'd bless them in a very special way. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And the board will be convening today as County Service Area Number 3 and Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation.
Okay. Moving on to item 4. Consent agenda. Looking for a motion, and I believe
through the chair, I would like to pull item 4R.
Okay. So looking for a motion on the remaining.
Move to approve the balance minus R.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. Before I proceed, is there any public comment on the consent agenda? If you're online, please let us know by raising your hand and pressing star 9 on your cell phone.
Seeing none.
Seeing none there, seeing none in the audience. Wendy.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. Ms. Davis?
Yes, Angela Davis, County Administrator. With regards to item 4R, Sheriff item, a document contained within the packet entitled Strategic Plan has been modified, and thus we are pulling this item to notify the public that the change has been made. We do have the changed and updated document here available for the public, as well as each of the board members have a copy, and it will be uploaded online with a new revised copy.
Okay. So is that going to come back then?
No. It's available for voting.
So we can approve it?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Correct.
So move, so okay.
Move to approve with the
modification.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Wendy?
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
All right. Let's move right along. Presentations from the public. This time slot is from information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I'd also like to add that this is for general presentation comments, and any time during an agenda item, if there is a public comment, you may raise your hand by pressing star 9 on that particular item.
Again, public comment, press star 9. Seeing none.
And I have no blue cards that were turned in either.
Right.
And through the chair, I do have a public comment.
Ms. Davis.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I have the utmost pleasure this morning to introduce to the board this morning our brand new appointed the Office of Emergency Services Deputy Director, Brian Shonan. So I've asked him to come today to give just a little update as to who he is and to welcome him with open arms. So, Mr. Shonan.
Thank you, Shinoni, but that's okay.
Shinoni.
That's all right. I just wanted to say to the board, thank you for having me today. Really looking forward to serving the county. A quick update, as of today, we do have an elk fire that is 50% contained, and the personnel is working on that. So we'll be monitoring that, making sure if there's any anything that needs to be updated, just let me know. And like I said, looking forward to serving the county, and thank you. Thank you.
All right, and so, where do you get away? I was surprised yesterday. I've been distracted, I guess. I usually keep up on fuels indices and those kinds of things, but I was surprised that we're hitting max already.
Yes.
For this time of the year, and you and I will see each other quite a bit probably this summer.
In a positive way.
In a positive.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be congratulating
you. Yeah, that's good.
Job
that's
well right. done yeah, with no great. Fires.
No pressure. One can only hope.
If you could email the board with your contact information so we can get you established and know who to call.
Absolutely.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And welcome.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Moving on to item 9A, Siskiyou Media Council.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. There's a reason that I actually stand behind the camera and not in front of it. This is very nervous, but I wanted to let you know and give you an update as to what we've been doing for the last 3 years. I saw you 2 years ago because last year was COVID, so I didn't come in. But one of the things that...
We just need your name for the record.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Harris Petrick.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things that was brought up was that you supervisors of all of your districts didn't feel represented by Siskiyou Media Council, and I completely agreed with you. When I came in, it had been under a time... that, how do I say this? It was under a different management team. And now we started to kind of crawl back out of their hole and rediscover who we are and what we do, and that is to serve the county. So I have a presentation for you, because I can't talk here, so I will give it to you there.
Great.
Hello, I'm Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue. Siskiyou Media Council has a rich history in serving the community of Siskiyou County. In 1978, the Yreka City Council founded YCTV Channel 4 as an all-volunteer public access station. In 1998, MCTV Channel 15 was founded. In 2006, YCTV 4 merged with MCTV 15. And in 2007, the organization was restructured and renamed Siskiyou Media Council. Public access television channels MCTV 15 and YCTV 4 are free from corporate influence, with content made by the people and for the people of Siskiyou County. Content like Inside Siskiyou, the only televised news show in Siskiyou County, featuring two anchors.
Hello, Siskiyou County. I'm Shireen Strauss.
Hi, guys. I'm Becca Rao from Siskiyou Reviews.
And myself. I'm Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue, and this is the Weekly Sheriff's Report. Now with a new weekly format, together each Friday, we bring you an overview of what is happening throughout Siskiyou County. News where you live. Of course, you can watch MCTV 15 and YCTV 4 on your local cable television provider, but did you know that you can also watch the live simulcast on the web for free? As well as video on demand? You can find both options on the front page of the SMC website, SiskiyouMediaCouncil.org. Yes, you can watch your local news, COS home football games.
And Anderson Barnsell with a pass. He's got a man wide open. And in fact, he goes wide and gets a touchdown. Eagles, are you kidding me?
City council meetings. As well as newly created Siskiyou County public content on your smartphone, computer, and coming soon, Roku. As a nonprofit 501c3, Siskiyou Media Council relies heavily on tax-deductible memberships, donations, and partnerships. Together, we can continue to give you a voice, a platform, and the information and support our community needs.
One of the values that we came up with, that is one of our guiding values, is evolution, because we constantly want to be evolving to meet the needs of our community.
Today, over 2,000 children throughout Siskiyou County will read the same book to promote the importance of daily reading, talking, and singing.
The Madrone Hospice Board of Directors, our staff, volunteers, and I welcome you to our virtual Light Up a Life ceremony, a ceremony celebrating life, love, and light. I'm very grateful to the Siskiyou Media Council for their expertise and guidance during the process of producing this virtual ceremony.
Siskiyou County's only television stations. Siskiyou Media Council truly appreciates your support. Thank you.
So as you can see, we're doing a lot of things with very few people and actually very little money, but it's for a very good cause. To me,
100%.
Oh no, to me, every one of us has a mission, and it is to spread good or to bring people together. And right now my area is Siskiyou County. And so I'm trying to do my best to bring Siskiyou County together through Siskiyou Media Council. And that's all I have to say. So I did send out little things for you to get a little bit more information than me talking. Do you have any
questions? Get a copy for the file?
Oh, yeah, I do. I have 9 of them. Yes.
Yeah, I just need one. Thank you.
I guess a question I have. Years ago, I participated in the video, I guess, at COS. Is that linked with you, or?
So College of the Siskiyous is a partner now. We are actually looking into getting back onto campus, which is a lot more successful. When I worked with public access in the 80s, it was through colleges. That's how you get the support, and you're teaching at the same time. Right now we have 2 interns through Siskiyou Works, and the other one is through high school. And so we are kind of teaching and trying to give back. But yeah, if we were with a college, it would make a lot more sense. And now it may be that we can open that door again. But for right now, we're 2 blocks away from the college, and we definitely have a relationship with them.
Does the college still maintain that studio, or did they?
No, we have to pay. Yeah, and honestly, so you know, public access televisions usually do not have overhead. Mm-hmm. They are usually supported by either their city that they're in, like Reading, is given their stations space for free, and colleges. So for us to have to maintain the amount of overhead that we have, it's been very, very difficult for the last 3 years. It's no lie. Anything else?
I did see the, I think it was the sheriff's little spiel. Is it every Friday? You just started that recently? Some kind of,
yeah. In January.
I just happened to catch it, and I saw the sheriff's weekly update. I thought that was kind of neat, you know. So, you know. I will tell you that watching the football thing doesn't do nothing for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're going to promote something, promote the local high school baseball team or something.
We're trying. Right. We're it's just there's three of us.
And so, you know, Paris, I get it. I've been at this too long, dealing with the ups and downs of the media. I want you to succeed.
Me too.
So, you know, in the you know, I bring up the sheriff because I think that's pertinent value that if I was a citizen, I would want to tune into that.
Me too.
I don't necessarily want to tune in to see a football game type of thing. If I, you know, I'm just trying to find that balance because the beauty of media is to get the word out what's going on
right
in the county as much as anything.
So you, I don't know if you do know because you did catch it. So we Facebook Live the news show every single Friday, then it stays up for the week. We mm-hmm. also put it on YouTube, on our channels, and also on the website, which is on VOD. So it's a weekly news show, mm-hmm. And it's had 5,000 views almost every single week, and it's growing. So we've almost doubled our followers on the Facebook page alone.
Now, Paris, I'm willing to be wrong. If you've got 5,000 people watching that football game, I'm all for it, right? So.
Oh, but that's in our contract, just right. So you understand. No. So we have to do it because that is how we're getting money from the college. Okay. We have to do the
sure.
sports. And when we did the virtual graduation last year, and we have to do it again. So it is, you know, it's a lot of work, but that's okay. The only way we can keep our doors open.
Is Mr. Richard Inge still involved with the...
Yes,
okay.
He is our one of our board members, and so is Rennie. And we have a new board member who is Kylan Quick, who is from the Mount Shasta Police Department, and Anna Guzman, who is the president, or not president, manager of the Mechanics Bank. So, yeah, really sweet, sweet board.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
you.
Of course, we have that one who is our president.
Yeah. He makes a good anchor.
He's great. He is great.
Yes.
But I hope I relate to you what I think is so important for this county. There is just no other avenue. There's no other television stations, and we get nothing else here that's local. So I'm doing my best to provide it.
Well, we don't even have a local paper anymore, really. I mean,
oh, don't say that.
Once a week. And
oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
And we're trying to promote them as well on our stations, which is why we have Shireen. Who is our anchor, but she is also the writer for the newspaper, so there is a correlation there, too.
Okay, that's good.
Thank
so,
you, guys, yeah.
And regarding funding, we've always supported the City Media Council, and we'll do so again when we go through the budget formulation in May.
I would appreciate that. You know, look, just so you know, looking back at over the years of how things had been, back when they were in the college, the county gave $15,000 a year to Siskiyou Media Council, and that stopped in about 2014. And when I came on board, we got $1,000. And I get everything's tight, I totally get it. And then that was the 2 years ago. And then last year, I don't believe we got anything because we couldn't come. And so it has gotten smaller and smaller, which I understand, but it's hard because there's just nobody else to go. We do not qualify for a lot of grants because we're not working personally with people. You know, we're not giving them food, we're not giving helping with children, we're helping those who help them. So it is a difficult position to be in.
I'll make a point to stop and talk to Richard Dindus. I had more than one conversation about how to go about things because you're coming to the county. I hope you're going to the cities. They have they have the cable franchise. They, you know, you should be looking at all
we
aspects.
We are actually, we have a meeting tomorrow with the City of Weed and a meeting next week with the City of Denver. We are doing our franchise fees.
And so leverage whatever we can contribute to that end, you know, to get the cities in.
I would appreciate that. Yeah, no, thank you.
Thank you for coming, and
thank you.
We'll do what we can.
Thank you so much. That's all I ask.
Okay. Next item is going to be a happy thing.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Item 7A, public health, presentation regarding COVID. I keep watching that dashboard every day.
Yeah, I'm good. Good morning, board. Chair of the board, I'm Jonathan Himbert, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Public Health. I'm here to report off the current status of COVID-19 and the vaccine in the county. With more than 25,000 doses allocated, just over 19,000 have been administered to Siskiyou County residents. bring our number of total residents who've completed the two-dose series to 7,630, which is about 18% of the total administered. The doses we currently have on hand, that's approximately 6,000 doses, will support mass vaccination efforts by hosting another event at the Wairika Fairgrounds. That'll be next Thursday, April 15th. At which point that will be open to anybody 16 and over. So we're expecting a big surge for that one. Plenty of vaccines to continue doing these mass vaccination clinics. With a focus on equity, we will be sending a postcard to geographically underserved populations, inviting them to register for a planned mobile clinic, smaller scale clinic with our mobile van. And as far as the vaccines, I'd like to applaud Fairchild Medical Center and their continued efforts, specifically their second dose event this week in Scott Valley. And last but not least, I would like to extend my thanks to Supervisor Valenzuela and his direct volunteer support at our most recent clinic in El Shasta.
That was my second, I did for both events in South County. I was very impressed with the whole operation, the way it was set up. I can't say enough on how well it was, how impressed I was with that.
Thank you for your help, we appreciate that. So to date, we have held mass vaccination clinics in Wairika, Mount Shasta, Tule Lake. Our most recent clinics have been in Tule Lake, which we've administered 455 first doses. We will be returning later this month to administer the second doses in that community. And Mount Shasta, which we've administered a combined 694 first and second doses. As of April 7th, tomorrow, Siskiyou County will be placed in a less restrictive orange tier. In this tier, the biggest change is going to be the increased number of occupancy and indoor and outdoor events in all sectors. And then come April 15th, the state is opening up additional increase in occupancy and local businesses, including small gatherings. They're increasing the number of recommendation, indoor gatherings, indoor events, that type of stuff. There's a lot of list on their blueprint of businesses and changes coming. Those are available at the CDPH website, and we'll also be posting those at the public health website. And thank you for your time. Is there any questions?
So I continue to ask the question, but I still don't see anything come out with regard to flu data this year versus deaths versus cases. And then over the last 10 years, where are those statistics and can we get them?
As far as the flu, I have not been on top of those as well. The only thing I'm hearing from our immunization coordinator is that flu reports are very, very minimal, and that's statewide. But I don't have exact stats.
So I'm still curious about the last 10 years, seeing that data.
Sure.
Thank you.
No problem.
I'd like to see it, since they discontinued reporting it on the state website. March of last year. I mean, it used to be updated quickly, but they quit doing that about the middle of March last year.
Well, I just can't say enough how well public health has done on the vaccination. You know, at the state level, I've been arguing just get the vaccines out to the rural counties and get the shots in arms. They've proven the point more often than not. And I'm just talking in rural counties in general. We've definitely playing the A game here, so can't thank you and the team enough. You guys have done a great job.
Thank you.
I just know in East County they appreciate the work you've done, especially doing the trying to get farm labor. The efforts that have been done there has been greatly appreciated. Be a better represented community, so the reach out there is the outreach. Preset community is wonderful. Big work.
Great.
I appreciate all the work too. I know all the hours you put in the impossible situation you've been put in between the state and the citizens and even scrutiny from this board as well, which will probably continue.
Sure.
more relief there. There's one thing about getting older that wisdom produces is produced over the years, and boy, what a difference a year makes in my psyche. compared to what I knew about this a year ago, and where we might go with it. I'll leave it at that. Though. Is there any public comment on this? Raise your hand. Star 9. I think I see one.
Number 0599, go ahead and unmute.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Please unmute. Phone number ending in 0599. We've sent you a request to unmute.
Ms. Stephanie, can you just say how to unmute again?
Star 9.
That's to raise your hand. I believe it's star 6 to unmute.
Star 6, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So caller on the line, if you could hit star 6, possibly we could connect with you, otherwise we're going to move on. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. Item 7B, County Council.
I'll let Natalie take the lead on this.
Good morning, Natalie Reed, Assistant County Counsel. And this item relates to Pacific Forest franchise for electrical lines and public highway streets and roads. The board previously extended Pacific Forest electric utility franchise from January 12th to April 12th so that staff could continue to work with Pacific Forest representatives on the process of completing negotiations on a new franchise. Staff is still working with Pacific Core, and the process will not be complete by April 12th. So this urgency ordinance is being brought forward to extend the existing franchise for an additional 180 days.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? None. Wendy.
Okay.
Roll call.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're all right, Wendy?
Yes.
Okay. Item C, discussion possible action concerning vacation rental policy. Who's keying this up?
Good morning, Chairman Howe. Angela Davis, County Administrator. Today I have before you the discussion item of vacation rentals. And as you are fully aware, this conversation continues to bubble up. So I am bringing forward to the board to make known your pleasure as far as three options before you today. The first is to do nothing, just to leave the use permit process as is. The second is to modify the McLeod Service District area only, and that would be to have a moratorium placed on vacation rental use permits so that anyone from the point in time of an ordinance is passed, that folks would not be able to have the availability of a use permit for a vacation rental in the McLeod Service District only. The third option is to institute a countywide conditional use permit for vacation rentals on any parcel 2.5 acres or above. And again, that is for all county. I would like to mention that both moratoriums we are seeking with a possible timeline of 18 months due to the housing element, as a vacation rental aspect will be included in the housing element. So we are anticipating that to be completed in November of 2022. Also, The current permits that are in place would remain. We would not touch those. Also, permits that are in the pipeline would continue to be processed throughout this transition period. So, with that, I am looking to the board for any questions and also, again, your pleasure as to which option you would like for staff to pursue.
Yeah, you're looking at me, I'll be happy.
I'm looking at all of you.
But I'll be happy to. I think you're going to have some public comment on this as well, so I'll defer to the chair if you wanted to speak first for public comment. I'll find another way.
We can take public comment. Is there public comment on this item for the board? Please, excuse me. I haven't had my coffee yet. Please press star 9 on your phone to be recognized.
And we do have two.
Okay.
Number 9474, please press star 6 to unmute.
Good morning.
Good morning. I apparently wasn't able to get in during the public comment session prior at 9 o'clock, and I'm kind of off kilter here, so I don't want to disrupt somebody else that's calling in for the other, so would you like me to mute and come back?
Can I come back to you, please?
I'm sorry, say again.
Can I come back to you?
Yes, most definitely. Go ahead and put me on mute.
Thank you.
Okay, Shelly Kane, please go ahead and unmute.
Good morning and thank you.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, my name is Shelly Kane. I'm the principal, superintendent, and teacher at McLeod Elementary School. I grew up in McLeod, and I've seen McLeod at full operation of P&M Cedar Mill, and I've lived with it as is. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know a lot about policies or permitting or any of that, but what I do know is about real life and what I'm seeing here in our community as far as families are concerned. I'm always going to come from the viewpoint that families are the most important part of the community, and you know, business owners and we in the community do enjoy hosting tourists and people coming to town. But what I love to see more than anything is families being able to live in our community. And what's happening is we are losing families at a very rapid rate because there is nowhere to rent. You can drive up and down our streets in McLeod and homes are sitting empty during the off season. And meanwhile, families are packing up and leaving because people are putting their homes on the market that they've been renting and they have nowhere to go. Right now we're poised to lose two families that I know of, totaling 6 children, and 6 kids out of my 65 enrollment is a huge hit. Now, you know, I don't want to make it seem like all I care is about numbers and about the school and numbers and attendance and money. That's not it. What I want is when people come to this town and want to enroll their kids in my school, to be able to say, oh yes, go talk to this real estate agent or this person, they have a home to rent, and that is just non-existent. I've had employees come and interview and be excited to accept positions with me and not be able to accept them because there's nowhere for them to live. We have families come, tour the school, want to be a part of the community, they can't find anywhere to live. The vacation rentals are destroying the family element of our community. And I'm not sure that it hasn't already gone too far. I recently read a statistic, and I'm not sure where this came from, in the newspaper that said McLeod has 80% of Siskiyou County's vacation rentals. You know, someone might want to check me on that, but I just read it in the newspaper, and to me that's alarming. Because I would rather have families living here and be able to educate them. Businesses, contrary to popular belief, also need families in town and not just tourists, because in the off season, the families are the ones that support the businesses. So even if we can't change the fact that we have 80% of Siskiyou County's vacation rentals, we need to stop this from continuing so that we can have families in our community, because without families, the community is gonna die and we're gonna be a ghost town of really pretty empty buildings that aren't usable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more public comment?
Seeing none on this item.
Okay. I'll come back to the previous caller after we vote on this item. Supervisor Chris.
Thank you. Mr. Dean?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. What's the, I know there's an unofficial number as well as an official number, but what's the official permitted percentage of vacation rentals that the McLeod, I'm going to phrase this again, I'm phrasing it wrong, what percentage of the homes in McLeod are vacation rental permitted?
What I can tell you is I believe we have 56 actually permitted in the McLeod area.
All right.
53 of which are inside the district boundary of the service district, and 3 are outside of that area.
All right. And I know code enforcement has also done a couple sweeps down there, 1 or 2.
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
I'd say the last 6 vacation rentals that we processed were resulting from code enforcement.
All right. So where I'm at on this is, I don't know what other supervisors have within their districts, but for me, for McLeod, vacation rentals is a big issue. McLeod's unique in my district, as well as probably for the county, is more of a Tahoe area, more of a destination point. Vacation rentals aren't an issue in Doris, Teal Lake, or Montague, in my district. You know, when I talk to supervisors that are from Tahoe or supervisors that are from coastal counties, they wish they had addressed this problem earlier on. Unfortunately, it grew beyond. Right now, with the number being what it is, I'd like to put a pause. What I tell constituents is that we have high-quality employees, we just have a low quantity. So I've been working on this since 2015, and it's just we haven't been able to get it across the finish line. So I think a moratorium, at least for the McLeod area, just within the service district boundaries, because that's already a defined boundary, it makes sense. Rather than a, you know, an arbitrary boundary somewhere else, would just give a breather for staff so that staff can move forward with implementing this policy for the county with housing. Just so people know too, there is a benefit to vacation rentals. They do bring in people that spend at the stores, restaurants, all those sorts of things. And talking with vacation rental owners, as well as other public in McLeod, the feedback I'm getting is there's fine with a moratorium, a breather. And I've explained to people that a moratorium doesn't say that if you have a vacation rental, it has to be shut down for 18 months. It's, if it's not permitted, then it's a moratorium on new vacation rentals, not on existing ones, not to stop existing ones from operating. So I'd like to move forward with at least a moratorium from the McLeod area, give either for staff, and then also I'd like to emphasize the issue is more complex than what people think it is. It's not just vacation rentals and housing shortage. McLeod is single family dwellings, old mill town. There's not a, as staff explained to me, a diversity of housing down there, and so there's more issues to it as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Chris, when you said existing, you meant existing permitted vacation rentals for clarification, correct?
That's, yeah, the official number, yeah.
Because those that aren't permitted wouldn't necessarily be grandfathered in.
I wouldn't think so.
Right, okay. Okay. Permitted. I just want to make
sure.
Whatever
the wishes of the board.
No, but I want to make sure.
They have to go through the process.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. I get it from McLeod, but would the 2.5 acre parcel accomplish the same thing? And the reason I ask that question is we already have that sphere of influence in the Mount Shasta area. For consistency, it might be good just to start there. And at least from my view, it might take care of the McLeod issue as well. Because most of McLeod within the service district, I don't think there's any parcels bigger than 2.5 acres, at least that I can think of,
yeah,
within the district boundaries.
And quite frankly, looking at McLeod and the service district boundary, the 3 that I've mentioned outside of that district boundary are over 2.5 acres,
yeah.
I believe. The remainder inside the district boundary are less than 2.5. So from the staff's point of view, and with us being a cleaner operation, we already have that designated boundary. If we were to go outside of that and do specifically McLeod, we would be, you know, having a challenge.
I'm talking about countywide.
Countywide.
Yeah.
So then
would we accomplish the same thing?
Yes, it would.
And actually take care of the rest of the county at the same time?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of leaning that way just for consistency, but I just want to make sure it would cover the McLeod issue, because I know that it's problematic there, but I think it would. And then my next question would be is, would it have to be a moratorium, or could it just be flat out, just like what we did in the Mount Shasta Fear of Influence, that's the ordinance?
That is correct, that if that is the pleasure of the board, we may then eliminate the use permit for vacation rentals as of XYZ date.
For parcels under 2.5?
Correct, under 2.5 acre minimum.
That's of interest to me as well.
Vacation rentals. You know, it reminds me of when I first got married and I couldn't afford a house in the Bay Area, where I had nothing to do with vacation rentals. There's just market forces that dictate what goes on. You know, I get what's going on there, but I think it's like, in words of Supervisor Chris, it's more complex than just a straightforward moratorium. You know, it's really a South County issue. I disagree with you a certain bit. Mount Shasta has been fighting this problem for years. Dunsmuir is now fighting the problem because, you know, the people that have means can come up, buy a second home. I probably would favor a moratorium over the 2.5 acre. I think it needs to be looked at in a greater context. We are doing a housing element, and we have to figure it out. And here recently, it was in Klein Village in Nevada. They just had to do the same thing. And I remember the quote. And I'm not sure if it was the CEO or the commissioner or whoever it was, but it was basically, you know, I know we hit the sweet spot because both sides are not happy, right? So, you know, it's not just a straightforward type of thing. If you recall when we were dealing with the Holiday subdivision, small lots, you know, we struggle to manage anything when it comes to rules, regulations, code enforcement, those kind of things. I think that's why I lean on the moratorium side, because we need to build in the capacity and the plan and the working plan that we actually do something on this front, right? So as an example, 6%, now I find that we had a couple that code enforcement went out there. You know, I hear that all the time. I get the emails, you know, I bring all this to the county. Well, maybe, but you're not permitting, right? They're not doing the process. So I think we need to do the moratorium. That's where I would think, build in housing plan, get it straightened out once and for all, because it's not a McLeod issue, it's not a Denver issue, it's a South County issue predominantly. I'm not saying that there isn't Chimney Lake or Happy Camp has, you know, could be up against the same thing, but we should have a universal policy addressing that. Thank you.
Y'all are looking at me. I do not want to make a knee-jerk reaction on this. I agree with Supervisor Valenzuela in that I think it's, at this point, it's more of a McLeod issue, South County issue. I don't want to jump in and make a big sweeping decision and make an ordinance on something that we're going to turn around and make another ordinance on something after we do a study. I think we should do that study, take our time, make a good decision, and look at it in a much broader, wiser, slower way. If we need to do a moratorium there, to just take a step back temporarily, I think that's fine. But I don't think just stopping rentals is the way to go for the whole county. I think we can help McLeod right now, but let's do that study and see where we need to go overall over a long period of time to help the entire county as a whole.
Question I have is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Finished? Okay. Question I have, How many building permits are currently in process, maybe in the cloud? Any idea? The reason I'm asking is, you know, I know the cloud, I drive around the cloud, there's a lot of vacant lots that are not built on. But yet, this always comes back that there's not any housing. You know, there's two ways to get there. There's curtailing business to get there, or there's encouraging constructions. One's more favorable to me than the other. Can you give us a sense of that?
Yeah, so I don't have a specific number for you. That's off the top of my head. We have three active ones that I'm aware of right now. That I would say that there's a lot of building going on in the cloud. There are available parcels, though. There's a fleet subdivision on the south side of Highway 89 that only has four homes constructed on it, probably 60 lots or so. There's another subdivision that was done off of Hall Road on the east side of it that's fairly important. So there's ground out there for single family dwellings to be constructed on.
When you get to it.
Looking back. Here's what I'm wrestling, is that I don't believe it's the government's business to intervene in the business, particularly. Unless it's an egregious abuse, corruption, or violating someone else's rights. I mean, that's kind of where I am. That's where I've always been. We had this discussion a couple of years ago when we did the 2.5 acre parcel. So I went along with that. And the reason I did was because zoning is within the authority of this board. And to me, that is the only palatable. And it's not that palatable, but it's the only palatable option that's been put before me. I certainly don't support my district, mainly because I'd like to encourage a little more tourism, truthfully, in my district, as we tend to be boom and bust anyway with the summer months in my district. It's, we have an influx of tourists, but truthfully, because I don't have any vacation rentals and don't have any motels, where do they stay? On the I-5 corridor. So my district in particular doesn't glean much from that, other than increased traffic, increased use of the remote places, and increased fishing along the rivers and that kind of thing. So I guess that's where I'm at. 2.5 acre seemed to be something reasonable this board considered a year or two ago. It's the only place I would go personally within the cloud, 2.5 acre. Even, and that's reasoned thought given what I just heard, and that it would solve the issue.
So Lake Chestina comes into play here as well. It's a service district, and it has, there recently was a vacation rental that was asked to be permitted there, and there was a lot of opposition to it, just like what we're hearing out of the cloud. We got to remember that the problem with a lot of this is it's not so much that they're a rental on a month-to-month or year-to-year base. They're a vacation rental. It's a commercial-type enterprise in a residential area, and that's why we're giving the pushback. We're bringing people in that normally would be in more of a commercial-type setting. So I think that they should be limited, especially in the residential area. So I'm going to motion that we establish an all-county vacation rental moratorium for those parcels with less than 2.5 acres. And it's an 18-month moratorium, is that what I heard?
It would be at the discretion of the board, but yeah.
Does that give you the most flexibility to at least, without pushing you, does that give you what you need? Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, I would go for the ordinance altogether, but I'm kind of hearing that the moratorium might settle in a little better.
So you chose option one.
Option one.
Thank
with
you.
18 months.
Actually, that would be option two. Option one is to remain the status quo, as I presented today. Are you looking at the
agenda? I'm looking at the
agenda worksheet.
Oh, I was looking
okay.
at the agenda worksheet.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
So it is
Thank
option
you.
One.
You want all county.
All county.
Correct.
Yes.
And then just some discussion on that, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I want to set us up for success. I know last time we were doing a county solution for a local problem, so I'm fine with this. How many votes does it take? It'll take, it goes to the Planning Commission, gets voted on by them, then comes back for a 3/5 vote by the board to approve?
Four-fifths.
That is an urgency ordinance, and that's
action.
What was brought before.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
This would just be a normal ordinance, and it would have to go to the Planning Commission prior to arriving to the board for vote.
Super. Chair Hal brought up, as you get older, you get wiser, and you wised up over the last year. The last time this came up, I got quite a few phone calls, which I should get. I'm a supervisor, I should get phone calls. That we didn't pass it. It's a big issue for McLeod, and I respect it. It's for police trustee in South County. I just want to set this up for success, that if it comes back before the board, I don't want to go through the phone calls again and not have it something set for South County specifically. It's not as big an issue for Tule Lake or Doris or Montague, but I just want to set it up. If we move forward, I just want the board to be behind it because I don't want to get those phone calls again. The board wants something separate for their respective districts because they have their legitimate concerns for their districts. I want to respect that, not shove anything on them, but on the same hand, have something specific for one part of my district so they're represented and have that taken care of. I'm putting a couple of suppression on the spot, I recognize that, but I want to respect you guys' opinion on this.
Can you explain the process again for me? It has to go through the planning department before we...
Correct. What would happen is that it needs to go through the planning commission to approve. Once they approve and adopt, then it comes to the board, and that would be a regular ordinance, and then you have the 45 days of the first and the second reading, and that entire process will have to take place.
I just don't want to shove a solution that might be good for my district and negatively impact. I just don't want to shove a solution that's good for my district and shove it on something that could hurt your district.
Well, that's kind of the way it goes sometimes, Chair. That's the reality of committee management. So I have a motion.
I did not hear a second.
I would also second.
And a second. Roll call.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
No.
And Supervisor Haupt?
No.
Looks like it's 3-2. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
So more will come back later, correct?
Correct.
In the process. Thank you.
So I'm going to go back.
Take a break. Or do you want to?
We do the public comment.
Sure.
I'm going to go back to the caller on the phone for her public comment at this point, and then we're going to take a recess. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Panino. I live out in Big Spring. And I'm sorry that I'm coming in at this time. I tried fruitlessly to try to get in at 9 o'clock, but somehow the system didn't allow myself or two other people. So just as a heads up. I would like to talk about the unreasonableness of water. That word to me is just so ambiguous. I hate that word. It has no definitive borders with it, and it drives me crazy. So I sat down and I did a calculation so that I could get a quantified number on unreasonable. And I used actually the Board of Supervisors approved extraction of water outside of the basin limitations on groundwater, and the limitations on groundwater section 3-13.305 states that that permits for groundwater should not limit groundwater extraction to no more than demonstrated reasonable historical data or historical use and the amount not to exceed what's required to maintain public health, safety, and welfare of the people. So I take it historical means that whatever you get intensive, most intensive crop you can grow on that piece of parcel. So, unreasonable. I took two growing seasons of alfalfa, which would be probably more than you could ever do on an acre, and I gave a 10% loss of gallons used. Some, you know, error, sloppage, you know, equipment issues. And I looked at the number of vehicles, of water trucks that we're now seeing going to those two parcels with that information. And what we're seeing, based on the timing, and by the way, we have timing and I have pictures to substantiate all of my comments that I'm making. And the two parcels, one's a 10-acre parcel and one's a 40-acre parcel. The 40-acre parcel is 444% more than what is needed for two alfalfa growing seasons and a 10% loss of water. So, the 10-acre parcel that is being pumped and extracted is 2,075% greater than what would be needed for two growing seasons plus a 10% loss. I'm confused. As a prudent person, I would think that a prudent person would think these are pretty unreasonable amounts that you're extracting on those. And so what I'm wondering is when does this accountability on reasonable ever come into play? Because this is definitely unreasonable, and I don't think you'd find any historical records that could put that much alfalfa, that many animals growing and living on that acreage that could exceed. So I would like you to go back, perhaps, and define unreasonable with the water maintained within this basin, not just removed, because they definitely both injure the community. And they have the same consequences to the environment.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to me.
Ma'am, can I get your...
I'll send this document on.
Can I get her last name?
Can you...
My name is...
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Ginger Cimino.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've written this up, and I'm going to be sending it to all of you so that you have my methodology. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we're going to take a recess.